to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, let it never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing, power and majesty, mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Sing that again. Shout to the Lord. Well, shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Oh, nothing compares to the promise I have.
That today, nothing compares to the promise that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And let's just sing that song, Above All Kingdoms, Above All Thrones. Amen. Just thank the Lord for that He's crucified for us. Amen.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known. Treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. You were crucified, laid behind a stone. You lived to die, rejected and alone. Like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth. There's no way to measure what you're worth. You were crucified, laid behind a stone. You lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me. Took the fall, and you thought of me above all. Lord, you were crucified, hallelujah, Lord, behind a storm. You lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose on the ground. You took the fall and you thought of me above all, and like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and you thought of me above all.
Amen. Thank the Lord for being that rose trampled, amen, that we might get that sweet fragrance in our lives, amen. Amen. Would you sing that song, "In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified," if that be your desire. Just lift your hands up to Him and sing it, amen.
In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified in my life. Lord, be glorified today.
have any prayer requests that I know of, but just keep those in prayer that are not here, that may be going on trips or whatever. Amen. So just ask Brother David Lower if you'd come lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. How many could say with an upraised hand, oh God, I have need of you this morning. I have need to hear your word this morning. I need a special word from you, Lord. We'll just raise our hand to the Lord and ask for that request. Amen. Christian, how many are glad to be a Christian today? Amen. The salvation of the Lord is the greatest thing that we've ever received. Amen.
And ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand? Ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand? On a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, Saturday, all day Sunday, ain't it grand? To be a Christian, ain't it grand? To walk with Jesus, ain't it grand? To love each other, ain't it grand? Ain't it grand to love each other, ain't it grand? On a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, a Saturday, all day Sunday, ain't it grand? To love each other. Walk with Jesus. Amen. Why don't you greet your neighbor? Amen. Well, ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand? Ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand? On a Monday, Friday, Saturday, all day Sunday, ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand to love each other? Well, ain't it grand to love each other? Ain't it grand to love each other? Ain't it grand? On a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, Saturday, all day Sunday, ain't it grand to love each other? Ain't it to walk with Jesus? Well, ain't it grand to walk with Jesus? Ain't it grand? Ain't it grand to walk with Jesus? Ain't it grand? On a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, Saturday, all day Sunday, ain't it grand to walk with Jesus? Ain't it grand? In the book is mine.
Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause. Amen. Amen. Why don't you sing that song? I don't know if you can look it up, brother. I don't know what sort of key is it. I searched all over. I couldn't find anybody. Amen. Walked all over. Short key is it. I think it's A. B flat. I'm sorry.
There's no one, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one, there's no one like Him. There's no one, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one, there's no one. Sing that again, there's no one. Oh no, there's no one, there's no one like Jesus.
Just sing that song, Come By Here, My Lord, Come By Here. How many need Him this morning? Amen.
D. And come by here, my Lord, come by here. Come by here, my Lord, come by here. somebody's praying, Lord, come by.
Pastor prepares himself to come. Fill my way with love, amen. How many want to walk with that heavenly dove just like was preached on Wednesday? We want to make sure we have that lamb nature, no wolf nature, but that dove would land and it would make its abide there, amen.
Just let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to that land above, giving cheer everywhere.
it's going home time. Justified by faith, it's going home time. We're sanctified by the blood, it's going home time. We're full of the Holy Ghost, it's going home time. And the bride has rapturing faith, it's going home time. We're justified by faith, it's going home time. We're sanctified by the blood, it's going on time. We're full of the Holy Ghost, it's going on time. And the bride is rapturing faith. Well now, one of these mornings it won't be long, you look for me and I'll be gone. When you get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. There'll be nobody to turn me out. And when you get to heaven, gonna tell the news how he got me through, how he got me through. Well, I'm so glad that the bride is rapturing faith. Hallelujah, it's going on time. We're justified by faith. Hallelujah, it's going on. Sing and shout. There'll be nobody to turn me out. And when I get to heaven, gonna tell them the news how I got over, how I got over. I'm so glad that the bride is rapturing faith. Hallelujah. It's going on time. We're justified by faith. Oh yes, it's going on time. Sanctified by the blood, it's going on time. We're full of the Holy Ghost, it's going on time. And the bride has rapturing faith. Amen. If that's you, just give the Lord a round of applause. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Good to be a Christian this morning.
Amen.
Are you glad it's going home time?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. We're going to just get right into the Word now. Sometimes just got a couple people out. It looks like nobody's here. But by the grace of God, it's good to see all those able to make it into the house of God this morning. Amen. A little time to eat with one another. That ought to be nice. And by the grace of God, we want to just put a little message in here. I'm kind of feeling led to go this direction. Amen. As I've been going this direction. But I want to continue this way and just lay things in. I pray that these messages have kind of been a slam to me. And if they've been a slam to you, then you are with good company. Amen. But the ultimate design in all of this, of course, is to get us right back to where we need to be. And we have to manifest this. We have to bring this forth. And by the grace of God, the Word doesn't leave us with question marks. It actually takes away our question marks. So because of that, we just want to work with a little thought this morning. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to open up to Ephesians 1, verse 1. After that, we're going to go to 1 Peter 2:2, and then Revelations 2:4. Kind of a conglomeration of a little something here, but we'll try to make some sense out of this after a bit. When we begin to look at this morning, I want you to understand that this is not what the pastor's looking for. This is what God is looking for. Amen? And that's why things will be brought through the resources that we have. But in Ephesians 1:1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. So we see here he's talking to the Ephesian church. He just comes out just loving and praising and just really kind of exhorting in a very positive way. 1 Peter 2:2. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So, just looking at this, how do we grow in our relationship with God? Right? We start eating the word. Amen. Now, notice it's putting a separation between... it's saying actually to eat the milk of the word. Amen?
Right.
Praise God. Then lastly, Revelations 2 verse 4. We've labored on this quite extensively years in the past. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Amen. So kind of a little, like I said, conglomeration of something here. And we'll try to bring everything back to where it needs to be. Amen. So let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer as we approach the author of his great book. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love you today, God. And Lord, though we be few here today, Lord, we pray, O God, by your Spirit, Lord, that you just allow your anointing to be with us, God. Lord, we understand, O God, a lot of times what it takes, Lord, to, so to say, a rapture, God. We see a lot of things. We've been taught a lot, God. We've been enlightened to a lot by your Spirit, God. But Lord, here in this point in time, in this placement of this church, and this placement of individuals, God, Lord, we're longing, oh God, to maybe go a little higher with you, God, and Lord, maybe just to cry out just a little bit more. And Lord, if anything, Lord, I pray, oh God, that you just speak to your church today, God, and Lord, I just ask God, Lord, certainly I feel like the things that I've said previous, oh God, have been aligned with the Word of God, Lord, and I've done my best, oh God, to yield to this Holy Spirit, God. And Lord, you know, even in my footsteps, even days, within the last few days, God, I've been trying to retrace my steps and make sure, Lord, that everything I'm saying, it's right with what you want me to say, God. And Lord, I just pray this morning, God, that you just allow us to bring this forth. God, allow us to move into this Word, God, and allow us, oh God, to be strengthened by this Word, God. May we not see, oh God, a man in this, but may we see the presence of God in this, Lord. May we see that the King of Glory, Lord, has desired to bring a shout in the camp, Lord. Our desire is to see you, Lord. And Lord, our desire, of course, in that is that we might know you, Lord. So we're just praying today that you just speak to us through this precious book. Allow us to enjoy our time together. We just pray in the name of Jesus Christ you do these things. And the church said together, Amen. You may be seated. We had a title for this morning's sermon. It would be The Mature Church. I'm going to ask for whatever amens that you can give. I'll ask that you could be attentive as you could, because I really believe that within this world, God is at a turning point. And the dispensation is closing, and that means the dispensation within the church is closing. And in all these things, we have to be at an understanding and at a place that we're willing to go with this Word, wherever this Word will take us. Amen? So this morning, we'd like to bring a little thought, and I'm sure I won't get very far, and I'm really not intending to, but yet we just want to bring in a thought where we could perhaps look at the Scripture, look at our quotes, and kind of bring things out in a way that they can be applicable to us. Amen? So notice this morning, we're working with the mature church. Amen? Now, we'll be going into the Scripture, of course, to find this church. But I'd like us to maybe jump in and try to understand what the word mature means. Because we have a lot of thoughts about what maturity is, and I believe that if we could just put a nail right on the head of what this word is standing for, especially along the lines that we want to take this, then it will, of course, be more edifying to us. Now, notice here, Webster's 1828, the word mature means, actually, in all sense, it means ripe. And what does ripe mean? Ripe means, of course, as we continue this, it means perfected by time or natural growth. As a man of mature age, we apply it to a young man of mature age. We apply it to a young man who has arrived to the age when he is supposed to be competent to manage his own concerns. To a young woman who is fit to be married. This is very interesting, isn't it? And to an elderly man who have much experience. So, in looking at the word ripe, it actually means that you're perfected, okay? The word mature then would mean perfected. Or to have come to a place of perfection. Amen. So, this morning, when we look at a mature church, we're actually talking about a church that has arrived at perfection. Amen. So with this, now for the proactive group or the group that desires to be into the word that's being preached, how many would say that, God, I want to be the mature church? Amen. Now notice as we begin to think about this, we realize that the bride in entirety, the bride in the whole universal stance as far as throughout this world, it is called a church.
Come on,
amen. Amen. And we realize also that you seated here, you are a church.
Amen.
And so this morning we want to perhaps take a stand as far as our desire, because we can't necessarily change anything of the bride anywhere else outside of just to pray. Amen? So let's just kind of begin to limit this. So we see that with the bride, we say, God, bring your bride universally, God. Bring every one of them, Lord. Bring them over in this area and this town and this brotherhood that I know. God, bring your bride together, right? But yet we understand that if we had an effect that we could place on a church, it would be this church. Amen. So by the grace of God, let us work with this morning, because I want us to understand that here we are accountable to be a mature church. God will ask each and every one, He will say, what did you do to move the church on into maturity? Amen. So I want us to be understand, how many would be so bold to say this morning that when the rapture is called, as far as the bodily coming of Christ, as far as God coming and then God calling out, when it's time for us to go to a marriage supper of the Lamb, how many of us would say that God will only take a mature church?
Amen.
Amen. So we're pretty confident that we can actually say, okay, we have to be mature. Okay? Now, there's many, many avenues that you can go with this. And that's why I'm saying I probably can't cover it in one service. But I will cover whatever I can and however I can, the best I can, when we begin to look at this thought. Amen. Now, I want us to understand here, as we bring this into a little bit further of a thought, we see, of course, the word maturity. But I would like to bring this to you. What makes a church mature? What would show a church to be perfected? Well, look at the walls. The walls are painted pretty nice. We got a pretty mature church. Oh, we have a robe choir. We got a preacher who's top notch. What would actually designate, in theory, that a church would be mature? There's only one thing that can designate a mature church. And what is that? Mature individuals. Mature believers are literally the only design that God can have to show forth and to prove forth a mature church. Hallelujah. Amen. So we understand this, that in order for God to look down and say, okay, I have made Living Waters Tabernacle. For God to say that He made you is one thing. But for God to say that that church is mature could only come by the believers in the church to be at a mature level themselves. Praise God. Oh, what a shouting John. Let's let her loose, church. Because this is our desire. If we have any other vision than being a mature church, we have absolutely missed the mark. But the issue is, it is not often in our thoughts of what a mature church needs to be and how we fulfill that within the local body. Like Wednesday, how I was talking about how the church had to be a living organism. Not just the mystical bride of Jesus Christ, but on a local level, it has to be a living organism. Well, church, how can you have a living organism of a church without the believers in that church being a living organism in themselves? It all works hand in hand. So now, you see, when someone would say, well, this church is struggling. What would that actually mean? That would actually mean that the individuals within that church are struggling. Amen. 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 So this is important now because we have to understand what the Scripture says about us, where it says we're living, and what we should be doing. Amen. Now notice here, so aren't we a mature body? Let's look. So by the Scripture, we're going to be working with a few churches this morning. And I can already see by my little time span that I'm preaching here that I'm probably not going to get very far. But that's okay because I didn't have that in my mind to do that. And it looks like God, He just kind of knows how He anoints me. I just start talking and I just keep on talking and it just keeps on rolling out. And then when it's time, we look at time being far spent and it seems like the Holy Ghost still wants to talk and I'm still going. And at some point, it's got to stop. But maybe one of these days it won't. But by the grace of God, so what would make a church mature is mature believers. Open your Bibles with me to Hebrews 5. We say, yes, God, I want to be mature. Praise God. We see here in Hebrews 5:12 it says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Okay? "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Okay? So now we're noticing two different types of food here. We're talking about a milk and a meat. And notice Paul is addressing this Hebrews church, and he's talking about them and actually saying that he really can't, but he's actually showing, let me say it like this, he's showing the level of maturity by what's coming from the believers that are associated with this church. Right? A lot of people say that this was the Roman church, but yet here it says, "For when time you ought to be teachers, you have to be taught again." So I want us to understand here, as long as many of us have been believers here, a preacher, outside of just to bring something in remembrance, should not, associated with Holy Ghost-filled believers, need to actually reteach the beginning skim milk, milk of the Word, to the believers to re-establish their walk with God. The Holy Ghost infilling within the church, within the believers, should actually what? Keep the believers in the Word of God. Should keep them with a knowledge of the Word of God. Not that they would go above the milk and never need to go back, but yet they would be able to walk in this Word both lightly and deeply and be able to maintain a level that Jesus could do. Amen. Let me say it like this. Where is this written from? Paul writes this. And Paul is esteeming himself as one here that he could teach them deep and he could teach them milk. But here he's addressing the church and saying, well, this is your maturity level. I can't teach you those things because you haven't even figured out how to make these things work. So how is maturity aligned with the believer? That they hear the Word. Now, here's a real slam on the message. That they can preach the deep Word. That is not a designation that the church is mature. Amen. But a designation that the church is mature is based fully on them hearing that Word and exercising the Word that has been preached to them. Amen. Amen. Now, I am a preacher that looks at everyone. So I don't have a lot of people to look at today. So understand that I have no one else to look at while I preach this. I can start staring at seats if that would make you feel more comfortable. But yet, by the grace of God, I want us to understand that your ability to be proven as a mature believer is based on you being able to walk this gospel. You have to exercise what the Holy Ghost is for your day and age. Amen. Amen. So what's our slam? Our slam is that we have preaching so deep in many areas, but it doesn't even produce the initial simplicity of the gospel that was first brought to them. Amen. Amen. story. I'll make some sense out of this. So, notice, we should not just be at a mature or perfected state getting ready for a rapture. But technically, we should actually be at a place that we've received a word from the beginning of this message, the message of Jesus Christ coming in and filling us. And that message has progressed to the fullness of what it was sown to be in this hour. Hallelujah. So, notice, it also shows, because remember, we read 1 Peter 2:2, it says you grow how? You grow by eating the milk of the Word to begin with. But notice, in allocation we find in Hebrews 5:14, it says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. So who does the meat belong for? It belongs to the individuals who have got to a place in this word that they just haven't heard it. But they've actually acted upon that word and brought forth all that the word was in the other levels that have been brought to them. So, what is maturity? Maturity is not just having a rain falling on you. But maturity is taking that rain and manifesting what that rain is in your life. Amen. So, if a preacher has to continually preach the same thought over and over again. If I was a preacher and I had to preach the concept of salvation here every time we are here, that is a problem. It is a big problem because it shows that what? That the church has not moved into a place that they can receive the concepts of the sincere milk of salvation. So I ask you a question. If we don't manifest the first principles of the Word, do I need to move on from that word? We're pretty quiet. Until that word is received, it will not fully benefit the church if I go anywhere else. Oh, Brother Cam, you're making that up. No, that's what Brother Branham said. Remember, he told a story about the preacher. He had to come. He had to keep on preaching salvation. They say, can't you preach anything else? He said, how can I preach that when you won't even get over this? He said, why would I move on past salvation when the church can't even accept salvation? He said, let them first accept salvation. Now, this is a slam on a preacher. Because when we can't sit here and all the divine healing, which we realize divine healing is first principle. When the church can't accept divine healing, should I move on past that? Shouldn't our confidence in the simplicity of this word be manifested before we can move on with that? Brother, what are you trying to say? This is deep. So very deep. We're living in an hour that a message was laid in a storehouse. And everyone is trying to delve into that. Preach deep things. I've done it myself. But at the end of my mission, I come back to the same issue that I had years ago. I still need a mature church. I have went the route where I can break out Old Testament church ages. Amen. Where I can break out adoption and all these other things. And here I am, almost 5 years down the road. Yep, right in my belt, got it right here. Yep, can't you tell? Yep, see the gray hair. But here we're at a place. I got one chuckle. Thank you, brother. I needed that. But here I'm drawn by the Holy Ghost right back to the same place of where I was at the beginning. There should be no obstacle for divine healing to be here. There should be no obstacle for the gifts to be here. But we're trying. The message as a whole is trying to progress into Ephesians when they can't even conquer Corinthians. We say, well, my pastor's a preacher. He preaches it deep. That doesn't mean one thing. If you can't even find the unity with the Holy Spirit on a level to manifest from within you. You know, the thing is, we can hear deep word, and you can't tell me you don't love it because I love it too. I love when the word opens. I love when it just rolls out of the word of God. It's bam, bam, bam. I love it. It makes me want to do it more and more and more. But when push comes to shove, the identification of this church is not a deep word. The identification, the only identification that this church should be the only identification that this church should be troubled by as far as having a need to acquire would be the life of Jesus Christ fully leading and guiding them on an individual level. Makes sense, doesn't it? So how often do we think of these things? How often are we getting in line of what this needs to be? Amen? So now, notice, if we could, I want us to look at maturity a little bit, because we remember that the Holy Ghost, His desire is to feed you. He wants to feed you the Word of God. He wants you to grow with that Word. But when He feeds you that Word and you don't grow, there's an issue with the Word or with the individual. There's an issue with the individual. The individual has issues. Right? Remember the other day we were working with the nature of a lamb and a dove? Yep. You're just not naturally the dove. You're naturally the lamb. Amen. But what will the dove and where will the dove always lead you? He will always lead you to death. Because when the dove ascended on the perfect lamb, He led him to Calvary. So the dove will always lead the lamb to death. And that death, He will have to, on a free moral agency, what? Yield His life up to the dove's will. Amen. Now, notice here, we understand, of course, being message believers who have heard so much. But if we had, so to say, an offering by God to show us in the Word of God what maturity in church form was and what immaturity in church form was, what would it be? We would have the church of Ephesus and we would have the church of Corinth. Amen. Now, if this is not interesting to you, it's showing something. Because if we cannot do this, we will not make a rapture. God is not requiring just an individual to move in. But God has ordained a church, churches, where He can manifest His life in the fullness of His Word. If we didn't believe that, why in the world would we be here? Well, the Bible says to draw together all the more. Why? Well, every church is going to fall short. Every church ain't going to be. We'll never be able to get on the same line. Says who? Now, let's continue. So, the strong meat, or the feeding of the Holy Ghost Word at a deeper level, would be for those who by reason of use have had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, notice here, we say, brother, I want to be that mature church. Brother, I want to be on a mystical level of individuality. I want to be the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be. You will be. In our minds, we should say, I am.
Amen.
But yet, we understand that here, in looking at maturity, maturity is not just a birth. Maturity is a process. Will there be backslidings along that process? Plenty. Will there be falling short along that process? Many. Will there be overcoming in that process? Many. Will there be character built? Much. Amen. Until you come to the place where maturity is at your right hand. You can make me preach if you want. I can adapt to the atmosphere. Now notice here. So remember, we have Ephesians and we have Corinthians. And notice, I know this, see this is the problem is, here's the problem. The problem is, the devil doesn't want you mature. He doesn't want you mature on an individual level. He doesn't want this church, on a level where we're mature. And he does not want the bride of Jesus Christ mature. But he won't start at the universal level of the mystical bride of Jesus Christ to try to slow things down. He won't start on a church level. He will start in your own back door. And he'll work on you day in, day not. I am a recipient. Hallelujah. He's not preaching against us. He's preaching against all of us. This guy's so crazy, he preaches against himself. You ain't kidding. Something's got to flip. Some switch has got to get going. Amen. But notice here, I want you to see how we can look at the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Now here we see the church of Corinth. And remember that a lot of people, especially in the message, even though there's only like 7 quotes, they just absolutely demolish the Corinthian church. Do you understand what the difference between Corinth and Ephesus was? Well, sure, one church was mature and one church wasn't in the writings of this letter. But do you realize that there's another difference between the church of Corinth and the church of Ephesians? What's that? The Ephesians church was only big enough to fill a house. But the Corinthian church was a little bit bigger than that. According to Acts 18:8, it says, "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized." Many? Look, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. So here, we go to Acts 19, and we find that Ephesus only had 12 people, as far as 12 men. But when God began talking about the seed, let me say seed, the seed of Corinth, He was talking about a level of people called out on a higher scale. It would be like comparing Living Waters Tabernacle to Cloverdale Valley. And we're saying, oh, Corinth, that's just immature church. Don't you realize there was a lot of seed here? There was a lot going on. It wasn't just, well, here are my brothers over here. You know, we're just a little family church. But here, there were many people within this city that were actually seed.
Amen.
So you say, oh, well, you see, they couldn't be mature like Ephesus. Well, look, there's reasons why. Is it easier to get a church with 12 men in one accord? Or is it easier with a city where many, many seed are there? Well, sure. We have a hard time getting in one accord with this right here. Oh, and there they go. They start running the aisles. Glory to God. He's right. Do you realize the smaller number of people we have, the easier it should be to manifest the fullness of the Spirit of God? We look, and I see true believers. I see people that love God. We miss a couple people here. And we sit here more quiet than if more people were here. There's a problem with that. We, as believers, should be able to manifest the Holy Ghost so much more easily when I know Brother Freddie wants to be here, Sister Barb, Sister Betsy, Brother Steve, Sister Ashley, Brother David. Don't need to go through the whole room because I can't, because there's no way I'm making people here at all. But we should be able to come into unity so easy with just this right here.
Amen.
That we should almost be longing for small churches. Well, brother, what is your example? Ephesus.
Amen.
What is your example? How do you prove that? Ephesus. God anointed, God foreordained a small church so He could choose that church to be the first church age for the Gentiles. The strongest of church ages that there ever was. Hallelujah! Would literally be based on the smallest church that God had in His artillery. Oh, brother, if we could just fill a couple seats. Don't you realize that you will have more challenges when more people fill these seats?
Right,
say, God, the church is dying. No, it's not. God is getting the church to a place where He can get you in one accord.
Amen. Good. Amen.
Really? I'll tell you what. This is deep. Oh, I hope nobody's at church this Sunday. No, Now, we don't have that mentality. But we have a mentality that whether we have a lot or whether we don't have a lot, that God is going to move in a great way.
Amen. That's right, brother.
Amen. God is going to move.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So now, we see that the difference between Corinth and Ephesus was the fact that one was a rather large church, actually a pretty big church, while the other one was just a little baby church. But God could bring His maturity to Ephesus much easier than Corinth.
Amen.
So now, let's work with this a little bit. Ephesus, according to the quotations, let me read you something. We know this, I could probably just tell you, I've said it so many times. In Church Age Book 77:1, it says, the very name Ephesus has a strange compound meaning. Meaning aimed at and relaxed. The high aspirations of this age that had begun with the fullness of the Spirit, the depth of God, whereby they were aiming at the high calling of God, began to give way to a less watchful attitude. So notice, Ephesus itself means to be aimed at. Driven towards the goal. But it has a compound meaning because it means that it begins to get relaxed. So God could start His church ages right here. Even ordain the name to mean exactly what it means. This church was a church that found God as a first love. They found the manifestation of God. They found God Himself. And when they found it at Pentecost, in God's mind, He said, "They found me at Ephesus." The mature church. Yeah, we're going to get into this. So now, notice here, if we could, we find out, let me read just a little bit more of this quote. I don't want to miss it. It says, "A less ardent following of Jesus Christ began to manifest itself as an omen that in the future ages, the physical vehicle called the church would sink to the awfulness of the depth of Satan. It had become relaxed and was drifting. Already the age was backsliding." So what is the main issue of Ephesus? The main issue is not that it was God's fullness, but with the fullness of God came the devil to try to relax that which God set on fire. Okay? I'm going somewhere with this. So notice, I'm going to move to the end of the quote. It says, "The Ephesian age had represented to her the opportunity for God's best." So the Ephesus church, in natural, it was God's best church. It was God's greatest church that He had to offer to all of Asia. Was Ephesus. The opportunity for God's best, and for a while she prevailed and then relaxed. And in that unguarded moment, Satan planted the seed of complete ruination. Oh, I want to be a mature church. When even at the highest mark, is there anyone here that can say, "Well, we've already manifested Ephesus"? We manifested Ephesus. If you think that we have, I'll tell you right now we haven't. Manifesting Ephesus is more than manifesting the power for one service or for some meetings. Manifesting Ephesus is actually manifesting maturity. So do you realize when people say, "Well, we're the perfect church," they're actually saying, "We're Ephesus." So do they line up with Ephesus? This stirs me up. It should bubble something up out of you too. If this is your desire. This is our vision. This is my vision. I feel like Holy Ghost has given me. Yep. Yeah, I just don't know where it comes from. I don't mean, does it come from the Word of God? Where does it come from? So, let's notice here. I want you to see something here. Now notice 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Yes, we're going to go into Corinthians. Notice how we started with the Word of God will show what God is trying to show the people. But notice, we see that in the message, people have what? They try to go deeper in the Word than what the church can handle. And what has it done in the message as an entirety? It's led to many strange doctrines that go many ways and that bring the church to ruination. Okay? Now notice 1 Corinthians 3:1. Now, who is this letter to? Corinth. 1 Corinthians. I'm deep, I told you. Try to hold on. And it says, first verse, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy, strife, divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now remember here, we're seeing a couple of things here. We're seeing that one, we have a church that Paul cannot bring them a mature word. They are not worthy, so to say, of a mature word because they can't align their lives with the milk of the word. Oh, what if we let this actually catch a true revelation in the message? How that would change our sermons. Hallelujah. So now, he says they're not even able to bear it. Now, what would give Paul the proof that they could not bear that word? Because they could not live the milk of the word. Because they couldn't order the milk of the word to the church. Now, look at this. So he calls them carnal. And notice how he identifies their carnality. Now, here, let us remember this. I just told you the difference between Ephesus and Corinthians. Oh, probably about 150 people, probably. Now look at this. Whereas there's among you envy, strife, divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? So look, let me say it like this. Is it easier to get a multitude, variety of doctrines, good and bad, in a church where there's few people or many people? Many. Because where you have many people, you have many people that are trying to find their callings. You have many people who will follow false callings. You will have many people that follow their own thoughts about what the word is. Amen. Now, did Corinth have a pastor? Sure they did. Amen. But even with a pastor, did Ephesus have a pastor? Sure they did. Amen. So what was the difference? Now here's my challenge to you. Go to the book of Ephesus and see if you can find this. You can't find it. It doesn't even exist. I mean, talk about a church. He's slamming with the word.
Amen.
No, we have to be conscious of this. I'm not preaching this to go do anything outside of show every one of us what the nature of the beast is. What I want you to do is see how small this is and to realize if you can fall behind what it is. It will produce what this says. Oh, I look at what God has revealed just in this word. What God has produced just in this word. And I say, Lord, what is it going to be when we reach an Ephesus level? So notice. Oh, that Corinth church, what a backslid bunch of hypocrites. And no, the Bible said there's much seed there.
Amen.
But because of the nature of man, when individuals are not in the unity of the Spirit, it produces these attributes, envy, strife, divisions, carnality. Okay? So, when we look at Corinthians, how do we see Paul rebuke them? He says you're immature. Now, some of you might know where I'm taking this. Maybe not. But I want you to understand that here is the church of Corinthians. Did these people have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Is it possible that people in Corinth had an experience with God, but they were still having an issue fitting in together? Sure. Sure. Absolutely. Now notice 1 Corinthians 14:26. It says, how is this then, brethren? When you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Okay. Is Living Waters a mature church? When we come together, does everyone have a psalm?
No.
Does everyone have their own doctrine? Not that I'm catching. Everybody hath a tongue. No, it's not even in the church. Half a revelation. Yeah. Well, it's not really causing us a lot of problems, is it? Half an interpretation. Yeah. It's been a while since I heard an interpretation. These are the identifications of an immature church. I know this is quiet. It's going to be that way. It's like a spanking all over again. This church, individuals in this church, I'm not saying all of them, but individuals in this church receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they were having a hard time putting things in order. Sure, there's a lot of them. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. I can attest to the challenges of a larger church. I've been in one. I've been in a fairly large message church, 150, 200 people, sure. And I can know with the gifts that I've seen in myself, oftentimes it was challenging to not want the gift to be used. But the training for me was to wait on my ministry. What do you think Corinthians was about? They had a lot of people. And a lot of people wanted to do something. And some people wanted to do something so bad, they just come up with their own doctrine. Some people wanted to do something so bad, they had to make sure they had a tongue. Or they had an interpretation. Or they had the revelation. So, this immature church, what a place. Oh, but not Ephesus. Not Ephesus. Because they were a smaller church. They didn't have so many problems. Might have been kind of like this church. Small church. Not a lot of bickering. A lot of fussing. But you know, just people that receive baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know? So, let's look at another aspect of 1 Corinthians 12:20. It says, but now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Now look at this. Paul is exhorting them to live for one another. In a large church, for our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Interesting. Paul says, well, there shouldn't be any schisms here. Divisions. Shouldn't be anything like that around here. Even in a big church? Amen. They're required for what God gave them. We're required for what God gave us. Hallelujah. So notice the mentality. Paul says, when one suffers, we all suffer. What doesn't seem like it's usable, we give more esteem to that area. This is the type of church moving with maturity, or an Ephesians church. While the Corinthians, oh, I know, you go to 2 Corinthians 5, you really find out how bad it got nailed out. Yeah. Remember, the son was living with his father's wife. There's idolatry, railing. There's all these things moving within this church. Amen. Just got a lot of people. Just not coming together. But a small church should be able to come together. Now, notice this. I want to read you a few things here. Oh, I've already been long. How in the world do I do this? It's amazing. Let's read a quotation. Church Order 63, 12, 26, 48. It says, "Now Paul never one time had to tell those Ephesian church anything about that. They were in order. The Roman church, or none other those other churches, only the Corinthian church. And they never could get themselves. Now, Paul believed in speaking in tongues. He had speaking in tongues in the Ephesian church." Hadn't we heard that doctrine already going around the message? They say, well, we don't need tongues. We don't need prophecies in the church because that's for immature believers. That statement's antichrist. And the individual is under an illusion from the devil. Notice, he said he had speaking in tongues in the Ephesian church the same as he did in the Corinthian church. He did? See? But he could speak to the Ephesian church greater things than what? Just speaking in tongues. Interpreting of tongues. So the Ephesian church, they were able, because of the Holy Ghost they had, to get speaking in tongues in order without Paul having to rant at them.
Amen.
Well, that's what we have to be careful about, right? Because are we taking a Corinthian attitude towards the Word? Or are we taking an Ephesians attitude towards the Word? Amen. The church in order heard the Word and they acted upon the Word. Now notice this, God keeps His Word in 57. Did you notice in the Bible a few minutes ago, Paul didn't have any trouble with the church of Ephesus. They were scholars. They were men who understood. Okay? But his trouble wasn't with the Roman church. He exalts them before God, talks of their faith. But the trouble he had was with Corinth. Corinth was the place that he had the trouble. For they could not take the Word. So what was the difference between Ephesus and Corinth? Oh, you say, Brother Cam, you just were saying something. Yeah, I was saying a quote. Corinthians, they could hear it from Paul. Now, remember what we're talking about here. We're talking about gifts. If we are the Holy Ghost church, these gifts should be here, or something is wrong. Can't say it's the doctrine, because I preach that the gifts need to be here.
Right.
So what would be the hindrance? The hindrance would have to be we're limiting ourselves. Me as well. We are limiting ourselves from the mature Word because we're not taking the simple Word. Oh, God, I know you're going to do some great things. Well, yeah, but you better accept the simple things that He brought first.
Amen.
Why do you think the Scripture says, Paul says, covet earnestly the greater gifts? Will everyone in here speak sporadically in tongues all the time? No, because it will be in order. But will the church, should all of us here speak with tongues? At least once. Remember, Brother Branham said, he said he don't believe that anyone could lay under the presence of the Son for a long time and not speak in tongues. But do you realize we don't see Brother Branham speaking with tongues? But he did. But his gift to operate in the body was not tongues. But he sure could interpret it now, couldn't he? Yeah, that's a gift too. So notice, I know this is a slam for every single one of us, including me. Me more than you. Because I'm the pastor in this church. You're not acting like it. Oh, trust me. This is horrible. I'm receiving my 50 lashes right now. Yeah, just going above and beyond. Notice, because you realize, whether you like it or not, I should be driving you. Whether you like me or not, I should be driving you. On everything in this church. That's Nicolaitan. No, that's a shepherd. If a shepherd sees that the sheep aren't moving into the pasture, what do they do? Okay, I'm just going to go over here and preach some deep word over in the green pasture here. You can just, if you ever want to come by, come by. That'd be an illegitimate, backslid shepherd. Amen. But what would that shepherd do? That's why he's got the staff. Right? Amen. He moves them into position. Brother Cam, why are you preaching this? To move you into position. Any other thought that you can come up with, it is probably not of God. Because that is it. All of our imperfections, every one of us have them. If we could line up with the Spirit on this level, all the rest of our weaknesses, yep, I'm looking at everybody. They would take care of themselves. I know these aren't Shouting John sermons, but I'll tell you what. It is a God absolute truth of this word. God sent. Because how are we going to make a rapture if this isn't your focus? I know. I'm crying out because I need something to change. You need something to change. Our attitude towards this word has to change. Our attitude towards this ministry has to change. Not just you, me. Our attitude towards what this is has to change. I ain't trying to rebuke everybody for all the other things that you're always doing. But you have to be at a place that you're ready to yield that so that God can be all in all in this body. Because our visions, if there's any other thought, are completely separate. Not even close to being united. My thought, when I look at this word, I have a God that leads me every day. I have a God that has a flourishing ministry. They are the lighthouse of the area. They are the hands reaching out. Not just cooperating with message believers. That is so denominational. It is abominable in my mind. We should be reaching out to every nominal church in this area. This is our mission field. My mission field ain't trying to get into a message pulpit. My mission field is to bring the word to this area. Your mission is to get souls in here, to bring, oh, hallelujah. Do you realize that brother, that Brother Simon's been working with Eric? Do you realize that he went up and was hitting up, I think he's a Baptist preacher or something the other day with the message of what he knew. How many of you have been doing that? Now, I know some of us sisters were a little more restrained, but you can sure pray like it. And you can sure keep them kids right where they need to be. Amen. Right? Amen. That's right. Amen. And you can be praying for your husband to get in that spot too. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. This is a living organism. Whether you want to accept that or not, it has to be one. It will be one. Amen. I'm dying. It's got to be one. I'm dying for this to be this type of organism. Amen. I want to take all the false creeds and dogmas that you've heard from this message, and I want to dispel them. If we can come under the headship of this word, every one of us, and realize that these gifts are made to operate through you. This is milk. This is milk upon receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This ain't something, here's the issue, this ain't something you have to conjure up. This is something that controls you. Well, Well, I just got to start babbling something. No, you don't have to babble something. You need to get so lost, so pushed into the presence of God that God does it out of you. That's what speaking in tongues is. That's what interpretation is. Amen. Interpretation ain't hearing da 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 and saying the Spirit of the Lord. No, it's being so in tune with the Holy Ghost that when that message comes forth from somebody in that tongue, that something quickens inside of you and interprets it down to a T. And we understand that ain't supposed to be, oh God, this message is right and God's coming soon. No, it needs to be something specific. But we're willing to move into it because we understand that even the gifts are a work of maturity. Yeah. So what's our problem? I just nailed it right on the head. We don't have a strong enough unction of the Holy Ghost where He can control our every move. That has absolutely not one thing to do with God. It has 100% to do with us as individuals. It does not touch any of the situations in your life. It is aimed 100% right at you and me. The reason I ain't got it flowing, because I don't want to. Because I'll tell you right now, church, I am not on a level that I will manufacture it. I will not. That causes enough problems. I want, though, to be so in love with my Maker. This is very important. I want to be so in love with my Maker, so perfectly communed with God, that when I can, that I can have a God that will control me. I can have a God that, come on, haven't we been in a place where you just talking to someone, you feel an anointing and you start feeling stuff come out? We all should have been through that. Even sisters. It's okay to talk to the Word with one another. It's okay. God can anoint you talking about a doctor or about how to mother a child. God can anoint that too. As with brothers. We get this message stereotype in our mind that we have to be theologians and everything that comes out of our mouth, oh, it's got to be the deepest word. Da, 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 da. Where does it say that? It says whatever things are pure. Whatever things are lovely. Your prophet talked a lot about honey. Must have been pretty pure. He told jokes all the time. Remember, he said he had a big problem with cutting up. We sit here and we know Brother Bram, he was nothing but he was just talking about the depths of the Word all the time. That's all he did. Wake up. Get that creed out of your mind. We're humans. We can associate with our environment and we can associate with God's environment. We can do both. I know it's always very pleasurable to be able to commune on the level of the Word. Very precious. But what is our problem here? Oh, Brother Cam, you've hindered me. I haven't hindered one thing. I've been sitting here a long time. What have I said wrong? I haven't said nothing wrong. I tell you what I have done wrong. I haven't produced it myself. And there's only one way to do it, church. We have to decide. Do you think that's the Spirit of God that's anointing this, as far as anointing the church to be like this? No, it is the anointing of God that is trying to bring you in a level of communion with Himself that He can produce what this Word says. That's it. That is absolutely it. I know, we're going to be really quiet because, you know what? You can't point no finger at me. And I can't point no finger at any one of you. You know what? Every single message minister should be producing this in his life and his church's life. And you know what? That's why you can't say, oh, there's such a better church than us. Oh, they got it going on. Because we understand the complexities within this. So Ephesus, well, you know, they just preached a deep word. No. They had a church that was so in order that God didn't have to blast them through Paul and tell them that only three people can speak in tongues at service. He didn't have to blast them and say, well, you know, we're all one body here. Let's just kind of try to treat each other like this. Let's try to mourn with one another and just kind of be buddies. And he didn't have to hit them up with love, though I have all power. He didn't have to hit them up with any of this stuff. They were just able to move into position. I know. This is hard on everybody. It's actually kind of wearing me out a little bit. But, brother, sister, frankly, it doesn't matter what I can preach, what I can try to manufacture. If we don't understand that the high calling of God this hour is perfect fellowship with Jesus Christ, we've missed the mark. Most of our problems is Laodicea. Creeds and dogmas that we've learned. We've allowed ourselves to take a false representation of the Word and a false acceptance of the Word. Therefore, we don't see divine healing like we should. We don't see the peace and joy of a salvation life. We don't see basically any of the attributes of the milk performing itself. Do you notice that the power of God performs right off the bat in sincere milk? That is absolutely scriptural. It is 100% scriptural. So if we find an issue with our church, the issue with the church would not be, so to say, well, it's got to be deeper, or it's got to be this or that. But the issue would actually come down to the fact that we just haven't come to a place that we accept the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, the good thing is, pretty much all the messengers are having a big problem with this. Good thing about this is, it's seen and preached in this pulpit. The bad thing of it is, only the bride's going to manifest this on its true form. Midnight runs for oil, that's not really what I really want to do. I'd rather have it right there where it needs to be when we need it to be there. Because if we have that set, we don't have to worry about it. You know what's going to give you more faith in the rapture? When you can see a God that has you in order. Because let me ask you something. Who orders the church? The pastor. Yeah. No. Look at this quote. I love this. Time of Decision 59. It says, no one ever knows, E6. No one ever know what those visions does to me. They're awful hard on me. And if it could be just one, and then the rest of them would be all right. But if it's one, it's got to be all. Or they just don't want to believe it. So, the church is not in its right state yet. We have to remember that. Wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. Was the former reign revival over at this point in time? effects, your prophet said, of the former rain revival was in effect in 59. Remember, 57, they had a choice to accept it or deny it, and they denied it. So notice here, we have to remember that. It's not matured. So where was the mature church? Hadn't had one yet. Remember, even in 63, your prophet was talking about how the church was just starting to come into its own. Because they had been expressing Corinthians. Literally. I mean, remember, they had to put everybody up in another room because they had a lot of people there. They had a lot of people there, and everybody was shooting off. Amen. Praise God, that's a good shooting off. I wish we could do a little shooting off around here. We're small enough, we ain't going to be probably enough to fill another room, but by the grace of God, I'd like to be a church in order, wouldn't you? Now notice here, it's not matured, so we just have to linger and do the best we can. So God has placed the church in an immature form. What's your choice? He says we have to linger and do the best we can. You see, that right there is a statement of truth. Because if you don't do the best you can, and linger, you will manufacture. Okay? Now look at this. And there's no one can bring it to maturity. Nobody can bring the church to maturity.
Well, I am. My preaching.
Right? Only the Holy Spirit. You see, it doesn't matter. I can get up here and preach this every time. But if you're not going to get under line with the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to do it. Because you know what? At the end of this thing, you show whether you believe Cam Smith did it or if the Holy Ghost did it. Or you show if you're just not ready to succumb to the Word. I look at everybody. I show it too. We're just not desperate enough. Because I'll tell you what, if we open that door just a smudge, I bet the smell of that food is going to come rolling up in this room. My wife made meatloaf. So notice, there's no one can bring it to maturity, only the Holy Spirit. As we listen to it. Amen. Do you understand the long-suffering of God? Do we really understand the long-suffering of God? How long have we been in this church and not seen what I'm preaching on this morning? Very long time. How many times have we heard it? I wish I could count that high. How many times have we got mad at the Holy Ghost? You're aiming at me. The Holy Ghost is aiming at you. You're right. I'm aiming at myself all the time. I find it ain't me. You think I get some sick thrill off preaching against myself? I hate myself. I'm going to blast me. So the only way you can get maturity, perfection, is listening to the Holy Spirit. I don't believe it'll ever come by man. It'll have to come by God. So here's what I'm telling you. If you want the gifts in this church, you have to listen to the Holy Ghost. If you want the gifts here, well, I got to try to start something. No, no. You have to get so much into communion and fellowship with God that God burst that gift on you. Was the upper room someone's design? Did someone say, let's start jumping out of windows? Your prophet said they were jumping out of windows. Was the upper room? What was it? Did someone in that crowd just said, you know what? If I start speaking in an unknown language that I don't know, it'll be on every single one of us. I want you to understand manufacturing. Because I want you to know, if this is a divinely moved ministry, we will have to have a divinely inspired spark. Does anyone here feel convicted that they don't have the gift of prophecy or the gift of tongues? Or that it doesn't operate in your church? That would be a little conviction. This would be a lot of conviction. This would be a real big amount of conviction. Brother Dustin is already on it. Glory to God, brother. It's my deacon. He's right with me. So, until you are ready to fellowship with God on a higher level than what you are attaining to today and previous, you will not produce the milk of this word. Every single one of us. For every one of us, it will be a different level that we have to give to God. Because we all have different lives, different schedules, different obligations. We will all have to make choices based upon the leading of the Spirit. As far as sacrifices, as far as wanting God to do something here. Had a hard time preaching that this morning because I wanted everybody to hear it. But evidently, God wanted you to hear it. So there must be something special about what God has here. Perhaps there's a special level of communion that God feels like you can get into. I don't need, remember, your prophet said, don't seek the gift. Seek the giver. Do you realize that Martin Luther never sought the gift? But Martin Luther was the one that coined that phrase. Because Martin Luther began speaking in tongues one day because he was in such a communion with God. And they asked him, are you going to get this in the church? He said, no. He said, because then they'll seek the gift and they won't seek the giver. He was worried about the trouble of that gift moving into the church because he was in a different age. But we realize that our requirement is a little bit different, a little bit higher. So, all of us should be able to get on a level. Have I been long? You ain't kidding, I've been long. I just looked at my clock. Teach. Yeah, pretty much right there, brother. Thanks, man. Thanks for giving me the nod. We're just a little gang here today. I'm exhorting. And I know that I'm saying something that perhaps is shunned from our mind a lot. Because this is the scariest part of your life. This will be the scariest part of your life. To enter into this type of communion. And you know how I say that? Because it's been the hardest thing for every one of us to do. But how many would say that this is what I want to manifest? I want to manifest that level of communion with God. All imperfections aside, Don't worry, God will deal with those perfections. Our problem isn't imperfections. Our problem is lack of communion. And listening to that voice of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't matter. Like I said, there's plenty of nominal Christians that are praying like crazy. Enough that it should spank us. We should feel rebuked by it. But they can't produce the word. Because it's not given to them. It hasn't come to them yet. You might be the one that takes it to them. So I worked with this afternoon. I worked with the concept in conclusion of us being at a place where the order in the church, the supernatural in the church, because it has to be there. That's not our absolute, but it actually is a very good sign that you're right where you need to be. That the supernatural joined with the Word, the true Word, Spirit and truth. When you have these joined together, it is the ultimate sign that there's progress into the rapture. How do we get that here? I just told you. If you need to listen to it again, well, this has got to be right. This has got to be right. Everyone here, I want every single individual here, even myself, I want you to forget everything that you've wronged, you've been wronged, your beliefs and what Scripture is, and just head to the cross. Because if this ain't producing, we're still accepting creeds. If this ain't producing, we're still accepting a false notion of security. Amen. Absolutely. If this is still an issue, this Ephesus mature, ordered church, if we're still having a problem with this, you're still either saying you're the problem or blaming someone else, or saying this is the issue and saying that's not the issue. Here's what I'm saying. In coming to where you need to come with God, you've got to get through it anyway. But at some point in time, you have to say, I am the problem. Because the problem is you. The problem is me. If we could just start at the main problem, my lack of expectation, my lack of reaching out to God, my lack of, oh, I have this problem or that problem. If we could just start right here. You don't have to get mad at me. You don't have to get mad at your brother or sister. You don't have to get mad at anybody. You got to get mad at yourself. Yep, exactly. Because, remember, this church is on a mystical level. And you still have to receive this on an individual place. Because individually, you are part of the mystical body of Christ. But as a pastor, I preach it on this level. Because I want all of you to go with me. Sure do. Do I drive you hard enough? By no means. Pray for me. When you say your prayers, you say, Brother Cam, God, help Brother Cam to drive me, to push me, to break my legs if I need them broke, to say the hard things to me if I need them said to me. That should be your prayer. God, help my brother and sister. They got a problem with me. To tell me about it. And Lord, give me the Spirit of Christ about it. We have to start somewhere. And it has to be individuals. If you accept this word, what the Holy Ghost has brought today, there will begin to be a spirit to move in this church. Now don't worry, I'm not done. But that spirit will begin to produce something. It'll begin to produce an effect towards something. And it is Ephesus. Let's stand. So here at the end of the service, does our sister play something softly to the brothers? We have the option as we come to the end of service, whether we would like to tell the Lord, we accept this word, we reject it, we want to think about it, or it's our ultimate desire. I pray you're right where I'm at. There's souls to be saved. There's people that need to have someone cry out for them. But if we can never get over the concept of ourselves, if we can never get into communion ourselves, we should be at a place right now that we're just wanting more God. We're realizing that what this is, it isn't right. It's a dead organism. But if we've took the challenge of this church, took the challenge of this vision, we should be able to come free and clear with God, even right now. It has to start with ourselves. We can pray for others, but perhaps now is a good time to think about yourself. You don't want to be a hindrance to this move. You don't want to be a hindrance for people missing a rapture. But in all honesty, you want people to be able to look at you and say, there's an individual that shows the love of Christ. There's an individual who follows this word down to its end. You want people to see that there's a God that can inspire and lead you. That's the mission this morning. If perhaps you have a desire in your heart to say, God, I want that mission. I want to find you in a deeper way, God. Lord, I want to empty out all the trash in my life, my convictions, my thoughts, my statements, God. And Lord, I want to have a God that's strong enough, that I can allow to be strong enough, that He could speak in tongues through me. He could prophesy in me. He could bring all any of these 9 spiritual gifts on me whenever He wanted to. He could lead me to a dark alley. He could lead me through a woods. He could lead me to an individual. I want the type of God that I'm in communion with. And God, it's never been your fault, but it's been my fault. If that's maybe your thought this morning, I don't see how the sermon could lead you to anything else. And you feel convicted by that. You say, God, I want to fulfill that right there. Perhaps you just raise your hand. Raise your heart, whatever you have to offer. And God sees those hands. God sees those desires. And God knows the sincerity of your heart. And He knows that He's the one that ultimately has to do the move. But we can sit here and do the best we can. We can sit here and cry out. And try to dedicate ourselves more to God. And try to find Him. So maybe with your hands that you raise, or your hearts that you've given to God, maybe we'd like to say, God, I'd like some help this week. I'd like some help seeking You. I'd like some help finding You. I'd like some sacrifice. Some help making a greater sacrifice to You. That's Your desire. Let's just pray. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, we feel pull this morning, God. And Lord, we don't want Living Waters to be known as just another church, just a dead organism sitting on a bump on a log. But Lord, we want Living Waters Tabernacle to be known by the life that's in that church. And God, we want the life within the individual. God, come in our lives. God, come in our hearts, Lord. And Lord, live a greater manifestation, Lord. We don't have the ability to start a move, God. But Lord, we have the ability to cry out to a Holy Ghost that can anoint it. But God, in beginning, Lord, to show that we desire these things, God, we cry out right now, Lord. We say we're the problem. We're the issue, God. We're the ones who haven't shown any desperation. We haven't shown, Lord, that we're willing to move to the next round. But God, I pray, oh God, as the word has come forth, God, we've listened to that Holy Spirit this afternoon, Lord. And God, we accept that challenge. We accept that word. I pray, Lord, you'd anoint me, help me. Forgive me, Lord, where I've fallen short. Move us into position, God. I don't care, Lord, what it takes, Lord. Lord, if we're not moving, we're dying. God, we look at a bunch of death, but we want to see more life. God, manifest thyself to us, Lord. We cry, Lord. Let us find that Spirit moving. Let us find that Holy Ghost talking to us. A God we can talk to and you talk back. God, we're trusting you to do it now because of the message you've ordained. Pray you do it now. Bless our brothers and sisters, Lord, for whatever reason, God, they're not here this morning, God. Maybe it was an absolute move of iniquity, God. We don't know. I'm sure for most it's not, Lord. But God, I pray that you go on their realms, God. Touch them, God. Draw them closer to this message that was preached, whether they be here or not. I just trust, Lord, today you're willing to move. Trust you'll do it in the name of Jesus Christ, because we have no other name to lean upon. We believe it's a finished work now, Lord. The move has begun, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bride said together, amen. Let's sing that song, I Feel the Pull. If you need a prayer, we'd be happy to pray for you.
And my mind just fades. Take my mind. All about you, Jesus.
King of endless worth. Oh, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, Lord, all I have is yours. Every single breath. 'Cause I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself, it's not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart, my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Lord Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things
by today's service. Amen. How many just thank God for telling us these things that we can correct ourselves and draw closer to Him. Amen. I just want to just get into prayer more. Just keep seeking Him more and more as every day approaches. Amen. We just want to get back to the basics like there. Amen. And we'll just sing that song, "The More That I Surrender, the Lighter My Load." Amen. If we just surrender ourselves more to Him. Amen. It'll make it much easier. Amen.
And the more